Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Josh! Welcome to the show. Hope you all are having a great Friday night out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Seth Habhacker.
Hello, everyone.
We're here to have some fun. Take your calls. We are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We would love to hang out with you all. Come up and with all your sports takes and feelings. We're going into a big, big weekend of sports.
Oh, yeah.
Even just if we just talked about football, we could fill the entire hour.
We could just talk about the hot stove, and we could fill the whole hour of exactly. All the crazy baseball things going on, or soon to happen, maybe, with Soto. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll be getting into all those things. We've got some other fun stuff for our audience today, because we're not only going to give you a chance to win some River Kings tickets, talk about our schedule and River Kings action going on tonight. But I want to get into a debate with you all, and that is, who is has the greatest college football running back name? This is going to get heated, Seth, but we already know this going into
That's all right. I like that.
We'll get into that a little bit later, but I got two interesting places I wanted to start today, and I wasn't sure really which way to go. did anybody out there know that Randy Savage, Macho Man Randy Savage, was a baseball player?
I did not know that.
Went to college, played some ball in college, had a pretty nice swing, and knew quite a bit about running the bases. A little bit difficult to do, as I'm showing Seth, when you were in the gear of Randy Savage. But when you see the size of him and everything, it kind of makes sense. I just thought that was kind of cool. Randy Macho Man Savage was actually up for a scholarship for baseball and all that.
You know, I'm guessing he looked a little different.
Yeah.
Back then, it's really hard to play baseball when you're like all muscly like that. It's just, there's a few players that can do it, but it doesn't work that well in baseball.
Yeah. The guys that you saw, whether they did or they didn't use steroids or not, the gigantic difference in them. One thing that never really got talked about to me was the fielding. And how that affected their fielding, and how much that affected their flexibility, their agility, and all of that. Part of the reason I feel comfortable with guys like Griffey and all that, I'm like, he never touched anything. It wasn't just his body. Griffey was never necessarily built like
an Adonis
or anything. Uh-uh. But his agility and flexibility, even after injuries, weren't bad. And the fact that it, unfortunate as this is, that injuries kind of slowed his career down of being like maybe a home run king or any of those things. It also shows you, he definitely didn't. Because he didn't bounce back.
Yeah, he didn't have this insane, you know, like healing ability that people who use anabolic steroids can. That's one of the reasons a lot of players ended up using them, was to come back from injuries. And then, of course, then it was all downhill from there. But, yeah.
I want to get into the running back name thing will be fun and everything. But something that I really do actually want to get into with the audience and a bit of, I don't think it's a hot take, but it's just a debate that I want to. But there was some breaking news that happened just a little bit before we went on air, Seth. It looks like that the Wisconsin Badger football team is targeting Kansas offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes as the school's new offensive coordinator. This is somebody they were looking after heavily. It looks like they are not going to budge until he gives them a yes or a no. This is their main guy, the guy that they are going after.
Okay.
Kansas had a nice season.
They did.
Offensively, scoring offense, 10th in the Big 12, averaging almost 30 points a game, 6th in the Big 12 in total offense, 21st in rushing, and 152nd in passing. So certainly something there, but
ground game.
One thing that this tells you, whether Mr. Grimes signs in Madison or not, they are going back to looking at that running game. They are going back to looking at, hey, wait a minute, this is probably the smartest approach to this. Not only with where we are located recruiting-wise, but this is the kind of style of football our fans want and that we know that can win in today's... Boise State is showing you this. Some other teams are showing you this. Army has always shown you this.
Yes.
You can win with a running offense.
Even the NFL this year. I mean, you'd said it a couple of shows ago. I think it was on Monday. You were talking with Randy about it. Is the running back back?
Yes.
Right? I mean, look at the year. We got Saquon Barkley having like an amazing season. Derrick Henry doing, you know, Derrick Henry things.
Yeah, yeah.
But so many of these running, we're really seeing a lot of them, more explosive plays. I mean, maybe it could be the balance, you know, the pendulum might be swinging back towards more of a ground game after so many years of being, you know, what it's been, you know, past everything, right?
I don't want to nitpick or anything. The one thing I will add on to that I think if I didn't mention, I want to make sure to mention, I don't believe the running back is back for GMs and mm-hmm. a lot of these people. I think as fans, we always knew how important the running back was, and it made no sense to us. I think there's a lot of smart people out there. I rip on the Mouse Network and some of those and everything, but there's some really smart people out there. And Mina Kimes has been, I think, one of the smartest minds in football.
She's great,
And she's talked about this quite a bit, how important a running back is, while also, you know, devaluing the running back in some ways, too. But that's not necessarily what I think. One thing she's brought up is how this is a case-by-case thing as well. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can get a running back to average 109 yards a game and so many touches or whatever. When you look at maybe a Saquon Barkley's average stats or whatever.
Right.
But can they do that? And I will point to 9 or 10 different plays that he did this season. You mentioned Sir Derrick Henry.
Yes, right. King Derrick, right?
If he's not knighted yet, he should be.
We did that sort of thing here, right?
Guys like that. The stats may show you something on paper, but what they show you on the field, and the one thing that they talk about maybe more in football than any other sport, the thing that there are no stats for. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, they got QB pressure and stuff like that, but back in the day, they didn't have those things. But man, you knew when a guy would, whether or not Reggie White had any sacks in a game, you knew if he was dominating that game. Mm-hmm. You knew if he was changing the course of the game.
Even if he did get sacks, he could still be changing the course of the game, right?
Yeah. These running backs we're talking about, and most running backs in general, not even your household name running backs, I'm talking David Montgomery and Josh Jacobs and so many of these other guys that really are game changers. I know it may be a bit of a sore subject right now, but this is what I've been saying about David Montgomery since his first carry in Chicago. The only thing with him is he's just not a household name.
Right.
He could be. He's that good. He is that strong. And one of those backs that you can count on.
Yep.
That's the other thing about all these names we're mentioning. You can count on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took too long for GMs and these people to realize this. I'm really curious to see where this goes in next year's and the years after drafts. If we're going to see running backs get drafted early or not.
Higher and get, you know, maybe some better contracts.
Yeah.
Because I know the attrition rate for running backs is very, very high. And the cliff is always present. Okay, because you could see, you know, Nick Chubb, you know, great example. Okay, so many years he was doing great, then he has a catastrophic injury and he's not looking the same at all this year. You know, maybe he could do like a Tony Pollard. You know, it takes another year for him to get ready. Tony has having a great year this year, maybe, but or it could be the end. I mean, it's so precarious with so many of these guys.
I know that when it comes to running backs, that stands good, especially if they go after and get this OC. It stands good for the running backs in the Badgers locker room because they got some really nice backs in there. We're going to talk about one of them a little bit later, but those guys are something to really take some hope in, I think. And again, if you match them with a great OC.
Yep.
The question I have for the audience and the thing that I wanted to get into with this, it's something I brought up to Seth this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I watched some of the game last night and enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good game. I know that the fan base here, the Green Bay fans out there, didn't go the way you wanted it to, but I think there's still a lot of stock you can take about your team from that game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get blown out, came back, fought hard, and I think showed something as far as hanging in the match. Because when you're facing a team like Detroit or San Francisco, and you're facing these teams back to back, nonetheless, watching and covering the Packers here like we do and everything, I see both of these games and I see the Packers taking punch after punch after punch. Now San Francisco lost some arms, they lost some punch ability and some of the pop that they had. But Fred Warner was still out there, even on a bum ankle. Mm-hmm. That guy was still out there. And then the Detroit that is the new San Francisco. As far as you are going to know, you played us. Your body is going to know you played us. It's not your average football game. And that's saying something because there's a lot of hitters in the NFL and every team's got a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But Detroit, everybody, including the offense, are hitters.
Right.
So you know when you're playing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that style of football. I'm a Chicago fan, for God's sake. We almost invented that. I'm a big fan of that kind of slobber knocker football, all that. But in this day and age, as we see, what is the one hole in Detroit right now? Injuries.
Yep.
That's it. Otherwise, give me the where Detroit is weak.
Yeah.
And if they're weak, it's only because of injuries.
Yep.
San Francisco, very few teams have played more minutes of football in the last 5 to 6 years since Shanahan has been there and since they've been playing this style of football than San Francisco, going deep into the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl twice, not winning it, though. And that's my question. Can you win in today's NFL playing that kind of football? Because it's not that I don't like the style of football. It's not that I don't even think it's not safe. I'm not calling any of this dirty. These guys are not dirty. You don't hear that about anybody. What I mean is the depth and the health, because the most important thing in all of sports is depth. There's nothing bigger than that. Your teams that win usually have depth. Not everybody, but man, that's the team that usually goes far. Your big three in the NBA, it's gone. It's gone.
Oh, that doesn't work anymore. No, nope.
You need depth. You need depth. The Dallas Mavericks proved this against the big three of Miami, where Miami just they ran out of bodies and they ran out of ideas against a JJ Barea and all that.
Yeah, right.
But in football, we're seeing it all the time. Miami has some great pieces that anybody would give anything for. They got nobody behind this guy and that guy and all that. One guy goes down, whole team's different.
Man, what you are saying is totally. Look at what happened this year and last year with San Francisco. Last year, San Francisco had a freakishly healthy team. I mean, there were no major injuries. All of their pieces were on the field all the time, and they got to the Super Bowl. But that was it. They couldn't hide it because this year it's the exact opposite, and everyone's going down, and look at where they are. Seriously, I mean,
they're in a must-win game against Chicago, against one of the worst teams in the NFL. Like, and they have to win.
Terrible division, and they have to.
They have to, and
they're still on the outside looking in. Seattle's a dime. I mean, come on.
And it seems and again, I love this style of football. I want to see this style of football stick around. But we're talking about two. I know Houston tries to play that style of football. They're still building that. If they're gonna get it, I don't know how many other teams you can say that are like this. There's nobody else that necessarily plays this style of football anymore. And again, I would go through a brick wall for Dan Campbell right now. I love that kind of coach and everything. I want him as my coach. I love those kind of guys. But I wonder, can it win? I'd like to see Detroit win the Super Bowl. I'd like to see something like that.
I think that would be good for football if Detroit won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, real quick about that. You know, we talked about, James and I talked about this earlier off the air, about the play call, the fourth and inches and him going for it. A lot of people are like, what is he doing? You know, kind of thing. But to your point, what you're saying, the kind of coach that he is, he actually went against the way he usually coaches.
Yeah.
There was a reason he did that. And the reason was his defense at that point was being shredded by the Packers. He did that so he would not give Jordan Love the chance to get that tying field goal. Okay. And that's why he did it. And it worked. And it was a smart play, because it wasn't because the numbers said it was a smart play. In fact, the numbers said it wasn't a smart play.
Yeah.
He did it because he knew it was the right play at the right time. And it worked.
Yeah, that's the kind of coach you want,
and
man.
He's the man. He's so smart. My God, he's intelligent.
and like all these guys, you know, they're smart when it works. I understand how this is and everything. But even if it does not work, nobody here is saying today that he's stupid.
No.
They're saying, that's Dan Campbell. That's who he is.
That's right.
And this is better than what he did in the playoffs last year, where I feel like he went against who he is and that team's identity.
Exactly.
I think they learned from that, and I think that's a lot of it. And that's a team, you know, I know this phrase is really old, but I don't know how else to put it. This is a team on a mission.
Oh my gosh,
winning regular season games is the only their part of the goal for these guys. I would say too, there's a handful of things that stand out if you're a Green Bay fan that I think you could take from that game. The fact that there is fear for the other side in Jordan Love.
Exactly.
I think that's something. You've got such a steady hand in Josh Jacobs that you know you can count on. Really enjoying his season and so much of it. It's a shame that it's not talked about even more. You know, but I think that he's somebody that you can make an argument for, not an MVP,
no,
but I think you can make an argument of why he's so valuable to that team and why he should be at least in the top five, top 10 of the discussion.
It's not even in all the numbers that he's had, which are good, but they're not, you know, like Saquon Barkley numbers. But no, he's been so valuable to the team.
But there is one thing, if anybody notices this, I hold back from making a lot of critiques of Green Bay, in part because I'm so honest about who my teams are. And I imagine that it could come across as biased or whatever. But there's one thing that I really would love to hear from the Packer fans out there about. Do you feel your team, when it comes to facing a team like Detroit, when it comes to facing some of these teams that you're going to face in the playoffs, like Philly and all that, how do you feel that this team matches up with them? Because I was a little disappointed in the way that game started, that the lack of energy in Green Bay, the lack of hunger and fight, and the lack of fight in general, the lack of toughness in general. And I say that knowing that these guys are all tough.
Oh, yeah, right.
There's nobody who has ever played a down in the NFL that is not a tough human being.
Exactly.
Yes, even Jay Cutler is pretty darn tough. There's nobody. Miss me with that. Get out of here with, oh, these guys aren't tough. They don't want it enough. Yep. Get out of here with that.
No.
There's plenty of ways to make a living in life.
Dude, they're all playing hurt. I don't care what they say. They're all hurting at this point of the season.
By week two of the season, they are, let alone right now. Yeah. But I mean a certain type of toughness that we know wins championships. We know that we've seen, because you've seen it in the Green Bay teams of past. Does this team have that? Being as young as they are, I don't think that this is a matter of it's just a matter of when, not if. A matter of when this team has that, but do they have it right now? Do they have that dog in them? Because you need that to win. You need that to win.
You do.
One of the more consistent things you will see in football history is, well, how did this team beat that team? The dog in them. That's how they did. That's how the Giants beat the Patriots.
Yep.
That's how Patrick Mahomes pulled off a Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
And so against the San Francisco team that nobody, I really didn't think they were going to win that game. I really didn't think KC was going to win that. Going to your point of earlier with San Francisco, because of the lack of injuries, I really thought it was their year.
Yep.
Looks like it might have been their win. The window was closed,
I think that was the chance,
But I definitely want to make sure, before we hit the break here, Seth, talk a little winter meetings and kind of preview that a little bit as we get into that. And again, phone lines are wide open, everybody, 715-424-2600. Came across an interesting article on ESPN, kind of getting into each team and where they stand walking into the winter meetings. Before we get into that, though, I did want to give you the breaking news, everybody, that Rob Manfred says that the golden at-bat rule is not coming to the MLB soon. Shocking, Seth. Just shocking.
Well, he got what he wanted. He wanted people to talk about it, and they certainly talked about it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty far out there idea. Man, that would take a lot to get that thing to go. I mean, I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but it would take a lot.
What I would like to focus on, though, is the interesting part that we're going into these winter meetings. And we're not hearing, for the first time in a couple seasons, a lot of rule changes, a lot of those things. It seems like they're going to let these things, let the dust settle a little bit with
Let's do that. Can we hang on just a little bit? We need more stolen bases.
Yes, we do. Anything that involves that, I'm good with.
Yeah.
I do like what has happened in baseball. And I you know, one of the things that I enjoy about it too is I don't feel like we're hearing as much from like the old fans of baseball complaining about the modern baseball. Yeah. I feel like that's gone away a bit.
A bit. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it has.
Just because I hate the idea of somebody who has been a fan of something for so long walking away from it. I saw it with my papa, and I hate to think of anybody missing out or losing that in there.
No.
But there's also plenty of baseball to be had if you want to watch, you know, I don't know, the Northwoods League and your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters.
Ooh, there's always like baseball. So
there's always baseball. Yeah.
Well, and the numbers were up last year. Both ratings and attendance was up in MLB last year. So, I mean, it's kind of what we're looking at right now. So,
and baseball wants to keep going with that and stay hot with that. And certainly it helps when you're marketed teams like ours. While Chicago, though, the White Sox are not a small market team, they are small in their own city.
Yes, they've always been the second team. Yeah,
talking talking about your Minnesota Twins or everybody out there's Milwaukee Brewers, focusing on these teams in particular, but any team really. Mm-hmm. Minnesota has an they're coming into this. They had so far they haven't done not necessarily done anything.
Yeah.
But the Twins have picked up some steam in their outlook, largely because of they had a few impact free agents than other clubs. Some of their free agents have worked out more than others, so that has really helped them out. It's the injury thing for them. That is really the big part.
Yeah, the injuries. I mean, in that collapse that they had at the end of the season, and it was, I mean, if they had had Correa, I mean, one of those guys, just any of them. I think it would have been a lot better, but yeah.
With the one of the more high prized rookie prospects, Alex Kirilloff. Him retiring and everything, that really throws things in, a monkey wrench into things too.
Yeah, it does. And I don't blame the man for all the injuries and everything, but yeah, he was expected to be one of the bigger bats, and it just never worked out.
But Lewis, Buxton, Correa, you've got some nice pieces over there, and you know, free agency
season.
Still.
A full season of all three of those guys? Those are all impact players.
Yeah.
I mean, if that can happen, please. Baseball gods, please.
Yeah, yeah.
You're looking at a very good team. You're looking at a very good team.
In a lineup that not a lot of pitchers want to face.
Oh, no.
Again, going back to some small ball, too. That's a fast team.
Yep. Buxton, Willie Castro. Yeah.
Buxton has, I believe, like three of the top five like fastest in the park home runs of all time. Like,
yeah.
That's incredible.
And he's still got lots of speed. So
the Milwaukee Brewers have a 1% chance of 40% chance of getting into the playoffs and a 1.5 chance of winning the whole thing.
Oh, nice.
Which is way better than most, actually.
That's not bad, actually. No.
A slew of minor league deals that could make an impact, given the Brewers' history of second-chance development with pitchers. That's going on. Keep an eye on John Duplanter and Devi Garcia. Those are two names that could be making... you're probably going to see both of those names showing
very
up
cool.
in the lineup card this summer. And Milwaukee saw starting shortstop Willy Adames hit free agency. Does not look like he is going to be re-signing, of course.
No,
but
he'll go elsewhere.
I feel like that actually could be a win-win for Milwaukee, where you did right by the player's leaving with nothing but good things to say about the organization when he talks to his friends and other prospects, other players, other free agents, when they're asking all these guys talk. This is part of the reason why I talk so highly about, or talk so much about how important it is to treat players, even when they're leaving. They all talk to each other.
We're not going to discuss Jesse Winker, but one of the few guys who said he didn't like his time in Milwaukee. Most of the people who go there are like, yeah, it's great. They really enjoy being there. So
when you are a smaller market team, especially, you have to make sure that your vibe is good with these people.
They need the polar bear.
Yeah, they do.
The Brewers need Pete Alonso. They need him. He would be a perfect
first base and DH is a big wide opening for Milwaukee. But if you've got a big opening, obviously everybody needs starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Putting that aside, I would say first base is certainly something that you could use. And man, you could Phil Alonso is a nice piece. There have been a lot of chatter about them looking at Johan Moncada. And I would love to see that, in part because it's cheap. I mean, let's be honest.
He's not going to cost much. You're right.
And I still think he's got something to give.
He's got upside. Definitely the injuries. I know that's the big scary thing is the injuries. But
so sign them both.
There you go.
I mean, you know, it's interesting. So Representative Krug and I, we always wrap up every interview. Scott and I talked about this off air a long time ago. We really want to bring humanity back to people, you know, and one of the ways of doing that, I think, is talking sports.
Sure.
We all get human when we talk sports and everything. And we were talking about this, and it is from him to almost every Brewer fan I talk to, my brother, anybody. It's not almost about who they sign, but just open up the checkbook.
Come on, man.
Just show us that you're doing something. Show us that you want to. Obviously, smart free agents. You don't want them to give a $50 million contract to a banged-up Bo Jackson like my team does and everything. Don't be Jerry Reinsdorf.
Jerry Reinsdorf did that with every old star.
There are guys who wait to retire because, you know what, I could get one more check from Jerry. I could get one more. You know what, I'll stick around. All right, I'm coming back, everybody. I'm coming back. You know, like, of course, yeah. But don't be that. But at least show them that you are interested. Heck, even if you don't sign some guys, be in the running. Have ESPN saying, the Milwaukee Brewers are looking at so-and-so.
Man.
Some of that.
It. You know what? There was one of my favorite things that the Twins ever did was sign Joe Mauer to a long contract. In the end, did it work out great? You can debate because the last couple years he wasn't great, you know. I mean, he was fine, but he wasn't at that level when they signed him. But you had to do that.
Yes.
You had to keep the hometown guy. You had to get him. You had to sign Byron Buxton to a long contract, even with the injuries, to make good with your fan base. Sometimes you just got to do it. And that's why I think the Brewers need to sign Pete Alonso.
Yes.
Because I don't care.
Yeah.
How he's going to hit home runs. Maybe he won't hit anything else. Who cares? He would be a fan favorite in Milwaukee. Yeah. People will come to see him play.
He'll probably be in the home run derby.
Yes, he loves the home run derby.
I think he fit in well, both not just with the fan base and with that team, but in that ballpark.
Oh, man.
I think he'd really hit well
in that
ballpark.
He could ignite. He could hit 40 home runs there. Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm telling you.
It's worth the money. It's worth the money, man.
It would be worth the money.
Open up the checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of opening up the check, other people's checkbooks, like I'm so free to do on this show sometimes. In my personal life, I never get that way. But, man, I get on this microphone sometimes. And I'm like, spend. Seth and I were talking in a pregame a little bit about the biggest free agent in all of sports, really, and that is Juan Soto.
Whew.
And some interesting stuff you were telling me about him with the Red Sox and Mets and just, I don't know, the money, the numbers that are getting thrown around.
Okay, Scott Boras, super agent.
He's
Juan Soto's agent. And it was, I don't know if this was ever confirmed, but it sounded like, at least the rumor was, that he was willing to, the Mets owner,
Steve Cohen,
was willing to get whatever offer from any other team and add $50 million to it. Because Steve Cohen has got way too much money. This has led the Red Sox to do something, which I think is, I don't know if it's unprecedented, but it's really weird. Basically, and again, there's no confirmation of this, but the rumor was is that the Red Sox are coming to Soto and Scott Boras and saying, name your price. Hmm. Name your price, man.
Jeez.
And partially because the Red Sox are desperate right now, and because they've done this to themselves last year, they're like, yeah, we're all in, you know, kind of thing. And then they didn't do anything in the free agent market. And I think their fans were really not happy about that. It's Boston, man. We're talking Boston here.
Yeah.
And this year they said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like now they have to. Now they have to. And they have to go after the biggest fish, which is Juan Soto. They can afford it. It's Boston. They can still afford it. Come on, guys. He's going to be a draw. He's going to draw millions of people to your park.
I would be a little surprised to see him sign there. A little bit. But at the same time, it is Boston and all that. And they've been down for a while now.
They have. So, they have not had good teams recently.
But that also seems like a fan or an ownership that it's hard to question. You know, any of these people, how much they want to win, all that. I genuinely believe that 90% of owners go into the season wanting to win. Mm-hmm. I really think that most of them do get.
Otherwise, what's the point of owning a team? You know, other than I guess the value, but other than that, you know.
But I believe 100% of owners, the dollar comes first. 100%.
Bottom line.
That includes your beloved teams out there. That mm-hmm. No, not my owner. Yes, your owner.
Your owner.
Yes, including your Green Bay Packer ownership.
Yes.
All ownership, all this comes down to the mighty dollar.
Yep.
And in the end, when you're unsure if your team's winning or not, you see what's happening with the Jets right now. And Woody Johnson is a billionaire for a reason, because he's cutting. He's got you sit, you get out of here. We're gonna let go of this player because it saves us some couple bucks here and there. And not just the Jets are doing this, but
no,
just using
not at
them
all.
As an example. Mm-hmm. They just put a couple of guys on IR. There's other guys sitting. There's a lot going on there with that. Mm-hmm. This when it comes right down to it, at a certain point, especially in the season, every franchise looks at this and says, "How am I going to get in the black? How do I get in the black?" And with all of this stuff going on, maybe the smartest franchise in all of sports, people just hate on, fan bases hate on. And you and I said something there, Seth, and right before we hit our break here, I do want to say, I'm not an L.A. Dodger fan. I root for the Dodgers here and there because I love Mookie Betts. But as soon as he's off that team, I cannot care less.
Right.
It may seem a little skewed. But what the Dodgers do is one of the more intelligent things in all of sports and in sports history. They have figured out a way to do this, and they're able to do it because of the market, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't as if every franchise couldn't do a similar version of this, you know, working to their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can't be $600 million, but you can be $300 million. Mm-hmm. You can get into there, and you can pull in some names that you may not be able to pull in otherwise if you do a similar – the Dodgers are not cheating. The Dodgers are not doing anything with these numbers that, oh my God, they manipulated the numbers this way or they did that. No. They just got good, smart people running their front office.
Yeah. That are willing to make the payments. Yeah.
And this is knowledge that is not copywritten. Like, it's not as if, well, we can't do it. The Dodgers copyrighted it. You see the little TM over there? I mean, you know, they got the little C with the circle around.
Right.
No, you can do this. Your franchises can do this. So instead of, you know, getting mad at the Dodgers for the way that they got sign all these big free agents and everything, get mad at your ownership for not being smarter. Get mad at your ownership for not opening up the checkbook.
Man, you cannot own a sports franchise without being a billionaire.
Yeah.
Just because of the value of these teams. You can't do it. That means you got money. You guys have money. You can do this.
There's no franchise in all of professional sports that can whine about money.
Yeah.
None of them. And if they are, I question how good you are at business, and I welcome you to this show. Please join me on this show and tell me how you are not getting in the black. Please, I'll help you. I will help you get back in the black. I think it's pretty dang easy.
Last year, any team could have signed Shohei Ohtani, you know, theoretically, of course, he was only going to go to certain teams, but theoretically could have signed Shohei Ohtani, and you can't tell me that every one of their home games wouldn't have been sold out.
Yeah.
Because it's Shohei Ohtani, the best player on the planet.
We've been talking baseball, so sticking with baseball, you signed a Pete Alonso. It's a big contract. Maybe it's more than you want to pay for him or anything. Mm-hmm. That's what you do.
It's an investment.
The A's just did it. The A's,
with Luis Severino.
Do you want to go into spring training, the A's signing a bigger free agent than you did? And that's not just to Milwaukee. That's to any franchise.
Mm-hmm. Any franchise. Doesn't matter.
You got to. And I don't know how much I believe the Red Sox are in on this. The more I'm thinking about it, especially you brought up last year, and I'm really glad you did. Mm-hmm. This may be a little, hey, look at what we're doing over here, when behind the scenes we're like, oh, no, we're not spending that. Are you kidding? We're not spending that on one player.
Yeah.
I wonder.
It's interesting.
There's one easy way to prove me wrong. You know, sign them. That prove me wrong, but I do question whether or not that team, again, I hate to question if they want to win, but if they're willing to spend that.
Yeah, get to that point.
I'm uncertain of.
Get to those numbers, yep.
I am not uncertain of one of our favorite businesses to work with, our friends at Quality Plus Printing. They sponsor this hour. We greatly appreciate them. Get on over to A Street and visit them for all your printing needs. Seth and I will be back with more. We're going to talk a little bit college football when we come back, and plenty more on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James hanging out with you on a Friday night. Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Staying warm and all that. And get ready for some River Kings hockey.
It's coming up soon.
Yeah, River Kings.
7 o'clock.
Just, I guarantee you right now, they're all in the locker room getting ready, listening to their music, listening to Coach. And hopefully you heard Coach on Monday's show as he joined us for the fourth period. It was a great conversation with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids or River Kings, Coach Paul. Great time talking
newly
with
minted
him.
MVP.
Yes.
Out of the area, too.
Nicely done, yes. We appreciate him joining us, and that's going to be fun to hear how he feels talking to him next week, how the weekend went and all that. Follow the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river on WIRI, whereas we have every home game over there. Mm-hmm. Mike and Seth going to be covering it for us tonight. We'll get into that a little bit more later. And between us, everybody, we got some tickets to give away, too.
Yes, so you can actually go to the game. Yeah.
That is all coming up. I want to talk a little football with you, Seth.
Okay.
And before we do, did want to get into just a couple of quick notes. One, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, the nominees have been announced.
Okay.
Many might have, I can't imagine many Packer fans were not watching the game last night. But if you weren't, you probably did not see who the Packers nominee is. And I just wanted to give him a shout out. That is Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark is, I think one of the oldest things I know about Kenny Clark is him putting into his communities, both in California and here in Green Bay.
Cool.
So it's cool. It's a good nominee. Wish him luck with this. I still believe, I don't know. I know what it means to be an MVP. I know what it means when offensive player of the year, comeback player of the year, anything like that. I can't think of anything that could mean more for your legacy or your career than putting on there, having that Walter Payton on the Man of the Year.
Those are actually some of my favorite awards. And every sport has one of those awards. Like baseball, it's the Clemente Award. They were so perfect with the people that they do with this. I mean, Clemente was famous for that, you know. Walter Payton, again, famous for the off the field stuff, you know, and the generosity with time and money and everything. But those are some of my I always love to see who wins those awards.
I wanted to get into the college and the NFL schedule this weekend. One of the things that Michael and I like to do is the burn the boats game, the must have it game, the game, okay, I gotta have it. What is the game that has to be won? This team has to win this weekend.
All right.
So if you have one of those, Seth, feel free to jump in with that.
Okay.
And to our audience, jump in with that.
How about Michigan versus Ohio? Oh, wait, no.
Oh, man. That's a funny one. That just does that. That is the joke that just keeps on coming.
It is. I love it.
And part of the joke that keeps continuing with it is the idea that Ohio State fans are thinking of getting rid of Ryan Day, because that's hilarious to me.
Because he just he can't win one game.
Yeah, yeah.
He wins like all the other ones except for that one. It's like, no, he's terrible. We got to get rid of him.
I'll say this. Since the vest, they've only really gotten worse with coaches. I don't know that you want, well, you know, Urban Meyer and everything won, but I don't know that you're necessarily, what the grass is going to be greener on the other side. I don't know that if you're an Ohio State fan, so be careful about that.
Oh boy.
I think that this weekend you've got limited games in college football, but you got great ones. UNLV and Boise State is the must win for both teams.
Ooh.
If UNLV wants to get to a better bowl game, they're not going to get into the top 12. Well, they have they win this, and they do, I believe. Yeah, the Big 12 team does get in. So yeah,
oh, okay,
they got the MAC. The Mountain West team has they're an at large. If they're an at large, they can get in. So right. UNLV does have a possibility of getting in.
Mm-hmm.
But Boise State has the best opportunity to get in.
Yep.
And Heisman candidate in Aston Janty as well. My favorite player in college football.
Yes.
So,
speaking of good running back names.
Oh, yeah. Greg,
great one.
It's so much fun to watch.
Yep.
They continue to flood the box for this kid, and all he does is get around him. UNLV, I think I heard UNLV ranks 10th in college football in run defense. So this could be a really interesting matchup.
Yeah. Will you finally be stopped? That's a good storyline. I like that.
Iowa State and Arizona State is just wild, and anything can happen. Who knows what's going to go on with that one?
Arizona State's having a really good year this year. That's something else.
I would love to see Penn State give us something to be entertained by, but I don't believe that they will hold up against Oregon. At the same time, I don't believe that Oregon's perfect.
No.
I don't believe that Oregon is they're number one by proxy. They're number one because they have not lost. That's it.
Just because they don't have the one there. Yeah.
It isn't as if they look overly dominant. And at the same time, they look pretty good. It wouldn't be shocking to see them win it all.
Traditionally, such a strong offensive team like they've been this year. I mean, that's according to Hoyle the whole year. So, yeah.
And obviously, number two, Texas. Number five, Georgia. Although we saw it already, this is different. These teams are different now than they were when they played last. Mm-hmm. And that should be the marquee matchup. College Game Day is going to be there for that. In Atlanta, it should be a good one.
Yep.
I think the sneaky one on the is as much as I'm looking at Boise State and UNLV, number 8 SMU and number 17 Clemson, and so much falls into that game. If Clemson wins that game and SMU does not get in, that is the only opportunity that teams like Miami or some others have a chance of getting into the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
And all eyes are going to be on that game. If SMU wins, pretty much ends the argument of some of those number 13, 14 ranked teams and if they'll get in or not. But it's also wild. I don't feel like anybody's really talked about this. We're talking about SMU football again.
I know. Like, how long has it been? Seriously.
We were kids. We were kids, man.
What was it? The
Pony Express.
The Pony Express.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Craig James. Early,
yeah.
It's Eric Dickerson. Yeah.
One of my earliest college memories is that team. And even as a 8, 9-year-old, realizing, oh, well, that's where money goes. Okay, that's all right. That should be a good one. To me, if I got to pick a burn the boats game, I think that SMU Clemson one is probably it for me. Although Boise State and UNLV is pretty tempting.
I know a lot of people have been, especially this year, since it's the first year of the 12 team playoff, have been rah, 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 constantly about it. It's like, I don't care, raz. People are talking, man.
I love that.
It wasn't even right.
It's great.
But people are talking. I mean, it's generated so much conversation. I'm telling you. It's a good thing for college football.
I hope not just Detroit and Green Bay fans enjoyed the game last night, but all football fans enjoyed the game last night, because that was pretty much it. That's and the NFL slate this week, I feel like that's the marquee
not
game.
A lot.
That was the good one.
The Thursday night game was the good one?
Isn't
that crazy? That's bad. That's real bad news. Yeah.
This week is not a, I don't know. The Jets and Dolphins in the I don't know, you take it game.
We should name them all. But
man, the Dolphins have to win that game.
Yeah, they
the
do. I think they're gonna. Game. And yeah. and but still, you're right. Yeah.
The Falcons and Vikings is interesting, certainly with Kirk Cousins coming back to Minnesota, especially after the game he just had.
The last three games he's had, man.
Yeah. yeah. Michael Penix is warming up.
I was going to say, he looks like he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is terrible for your quarterback, man. Maybe it'll be different this week because he's playing, you know, against the Vikings and man, he looks like what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo last year when he just, like, literally on the field, you could see him stop,
yes.
quit yes. on the field. Yeah. It's like, you rarely see that. I'm like, you know, I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan, even when he was playing for the Vikings. But, man, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see him just be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. I started this a while back, and I haven't brought it up in a while, but I think you may have your new winner of the Albert Haynesworth free agency of the decade
oh,
award.
Oh, no.
The worst contracts. And it used to be Daniel Snyder was the king of this.
Oh, yes.
Daniel
oh, my
Snyder,
God.
If you were a good defensive lineman and you were in the last year of your deal, whoever you never resigned because you knew that he was going to offer you some mega deal that you never have to live up to.
Yeah.
How many players he did that with and everything.
Oh, man.
That award could be going to Kirk Cousins in the lands, like the amount of money that man has made. And with, I think, one playoff win in his career. Like
he's run the scam his entire career, man.
And I've never understood it since Michigan State. I haven't understood it. I'm not saying that he's not a good quarterback.
No, yeah.
But the money that he has made has never equaled out to me.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, no. He's not a bad quarterback throughout his career.
Yeah.
But I'm just I don't know what's going on with him right now. It's very weird.
The 49ers and the Bears in a must win for the 49ers, and that is weird to say. At this point in the season, and it's weird that the line against Chicago is not that high. Like they if the Bears win that one, it's not shocking.
No,
that's
it's not.
Weird. That's
no.
weird.
No, it's not. Especially with the way Caleb Williams has started to play now. He's looking, the last couple of games, he's looking good. I mean,
you get that vibe of a new coach in there. And I'm not saying that you could, that can last a whole season, but it can last a week or two. And you're playing him on that week.
Finally get DJ Moore involved. Why,
yeah, right.
Why it took
yeah.
so long. But
I love that they signed him to the biggest contract in Chicago history and that he hasn't disappeared because of him. DJ
no.
Moore has proven to you throughout his whole career, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, he shows up at the play calling and some of the things that are going on.
We'll see what happens now with the new coaching, you know, all what happens with the Bears. And maybe that's finally. Oh, man.
Give me,
I'm not even a Bears fan, and they frustrate me. Because it's like, dude, you've got talent. Why aren't you using it?
Well, there's some talk that Ben Johnson, the OC, and probably the most coveted guy that NFL teams are going to be going after for a coaching job
yeah.
next year. There's some talk that he has a little bit of buyer's remorse about not taking the Washington job, seeing how Jaden Daniels
that
is
was,
working
That
out.
Was surprising.
I get it, and I respect him for, hey, mm-hmm. unfinished business.
Yeah.
You want to stay in Detroit. But I don't see him doing it a second time, no matter what Detroit.
There's only so many coaching jobs. There's only so many chances you can get a head coaching job in the NFL. And, I mean, you're right. He's got to be at the top of the list.
And I don't agree with the Chicago GM or the Chicago assistant GM, whatever it is, him saying that that's the most coveted coaching job out there, the Chicago job. It's not, but it's in the top three. And it's in the top three in major part because of Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Ben Johnson and I missed out on working with Jaden Daniels and I could work with Caleb.
He's not going to, you're right, he's not going to say no to that. Even with all the issues going to Chicago. Yeah,
I hope not, because that's the only hope I have right now is them getting a guy like him or even this Thomas Brown that's in there right now. I wouldn't mind them sticking with him if it works out here, if we
right,
see him
yeah.
show some good stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill Belichick apparently is going to college, maybe. Bill Belichick interviewed for the North Carolina Tar Heels job, and just what?
Just, is he desperate?
It's got to be something along those
Does
lines.
Does he want to coach so badly he's willing to do... Wow, that's weird. Anyway, yeah, I know. I heard about that, but it's very strange. Anyway.
NFL schedule-wise, Monday night, you got the Bengals and Cowboys. I guess that could be interesting for some, but I don't. I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals offense,
I was going to say, I like the Bengals, too. They have no defense. None. And they're destroying Joe Burrow's career. Oh, I feel bad for Joe Burrow.
Chargers-Chiefs Sunday night football. That could
be probably going to be one of the better games this weekend.
As much as I like Mahomes, and and I don't necessarily say this because I want to. I think Los Angeles is going to win that game. They got the number one defense in football, and we're seeing some. We are seeing Kansas City. Why it is so hard to win three in a row. Mm-hmm. Why it is so hard to stay relevant in the NFL. If they don't have Mahomes, that team is maybe 3-4 wins.
Yeah.
Maybe. As we're seeing, not only the chemistry not there for some of the players, but also age happening for some of these players on the offense and defensive side.
I'm telling you.
There's only so much he can do.
Yeah. There's only so much he can do.
But I do want to make this very, very clear. I am not counting Patrick Mahomes out
never.
At all.
Never.
I still think they could win it all.
I did that last year. I'm never doing that again.
3 years into retirement, and I'm still not comfortable counting Tom Brady out. Until now, maybe.
Oh.
Tom Brady may not have it like he used to. As we wrap up going into our final timeout, there was a contest set up by YouTuber Mr. Beast. I have no idea who that is. Florida High School quarterback Jake Bogdanovich could win $100,000 if he beat Brady by throwing passes at successfully farther targets, the last being 50 yards away. Brady's targets were smaller because he's, you know, Tom Brady.
He's Tom Brady. He's also in his 40s. But
It may have helped that they brought out his teammate who chanted stuff like he's too old, he's overrated, but the kid beat Brady. It's I don't know, maybe Brady doesn't have, but I'd still take him.
Even if he's 47 or however old he is, I'm telling you,
Take him in the NFL is all.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I actually am happy with my quarterback for the first time in my life, so I'm fine. But it should be an interesting one. We have got to get to a quick timeout here. We're going to do that. Come back and wrap up the show. The show is Playmakers. I almost said you caught me, everybody. I almost said the morning show.
He was close. It was close.
I almost said it's Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. One more segment for the week. We are here next week, though, Monday and Wednesday. No show on Friday. We'll be out of the way so Wisconsin Badger hockey can do its thing on
these
airwaves.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll have a couple shows for you next week. Looking forward to it. Going to get into our schedule in a moment. But first, the great debate continues, and as we are getting close to wrapping up the college football season, I want the audience to vote. I want your vote, Seth. I want Michael's and Randy's and everybody's. What is the best running back name in college football? Not who's best, but what is the best name?
We just want names, man.
Yes.
That's all we want.
Ashton Jeanty is a great name, and he is clearly, I think, you know, by far and away the best running back in college football. You can make an argument for a couple of guys, but I think that it's pretty fair to put him up there. I will give you a Cameron Scataboo, though. Excellent.
Scataboo. That is good. I like that one.
Excellent name. And a wonderful running back at Arizona State. A great running back at Arizona State. There is also...
I still want him in the NFL just so people can say Scataboo. That's so awesome.
Yes. Scataboo with a 20-yard dash.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
How about Ole Miss running back Ulysses Bentley IV?
Now, that's stately.
Yes.
That is a cool name, man.
If football doesn't work out, he can always go into royalty.
I'm a Duke. Did you know that?
Come on. Yeah. It worked for Uncle Buck, right? Or John Kidd. Or no, John Goodman.
John Goodman,
That movie is so ridiculous. Not because of the premise of an American being the last in line for the royal family and goes over there and wears the hat. At one point, John Goodman, a Chicagoan, is wearing a Packer jersey and a bear hat or vice versa. That's insane. That's the craziest thing about that movie.
I was going to say, everything else, you know, okay. That's the end right there. Can't believe it. My disbelief is gone, right?
Every royal family member is gone, so they have to go to this ancient family member in America. Okay, sure, whatever. That's not that far-fetched. It's far-fetched. But that part, man.
By the way, if you want, it's called King Ralph. You never mentioned the title.
Yes,
I could. So I got it. If you want to watch it, I don't know why you would. just in case, if you want to watch it, that's what it's called.
I love all these names, but of course, I am sticking with Cade Yakimeli out of Wisconsin, of course, the wonderful young running back out of Wisconsin.
That's a great name.
It's a great one. It's a great Yakimeli. One. I love it. It's not only a good name, but it's fun to say.
Yeah, it's great. Man, it's like so many Italian names. Yes. Those vowels, you know. I love it.
And speaking of which, I am calling this award, whoever gets crowned this, I am calling this the Troy Fumagalli Award. The Troy Fumagalli Award. That's Looking at our schedule, real quick, before we look at our schedule, I did want to remind everybody, our sponsors, our great friends at Quality Post Printing, have their Season of Giving coloring book out right now.
Yes.
They've got them over at the shop. Go pick one up over there. Mm-hmm.
And various places around town as well. Man, I was looking through that the other day. Man, there's some cool pictures in there. It's so well done.
I really love the illustrations. I really love all that. But I have to say, even the cover, the type of graphic and the type of animation that they're using for this, I know I'm not using the right words.
Yes.
But I love different animation with cartoons or comics or any of these things. Yep. And it's really cool what they did with that. That's unique.
It's unique.
It's very, very cool.
I love it.
Pick up one of those coloring books. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Puzz doing that. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's such a fun one. Taking a look at our schedule, we got just coming up in about an hour and a half right now, Wisconsin men's hockey taking on Michigan State. It is a puck night all weekend, everybody, because we got that going on today. And then on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, join Michael and Seth for River Kings hockey. Join the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Get on over to the Southfield County Rec Center if you can. If you can't, listen in over at 105.5, especially on the Civic Media app. You can take it with you,
Wherever you go.
So, you know, when you got to get up and go get chips or something like that, you just carry it with you.
You'll never miss.
Yes. But that game, puck drops at 7 on 105.5 for River Kings hockey as they take on the Minnesota Blue Ox. Saturday, jam-packed day for us. We'll have Over the Back Fence on, but an abbreviated one, Seth.
Only half hour, because at 11:30, the pregame starts for one of my favorite games of the year, the Badgers versus the Golden Eagles of Marquette.
Yes. The battle for Wisconsin.
The two storied programs, I love the fact that they've got two really good programs in the state of Wisconsin, and they play each other every year, which is so cool.
And every recruit in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, really is watching that game too.
They're both looking really good this year.
Both teams are so competitive right now, and both of them coming into this game hungry, coming out of a game that they probably should have won. Mm-hmm. So that just adds even more intensity to it.
It's going to be fun.
And they've had to wait a couple days to play. There's so many factors going into this. Pre-game kicks off at 11:30 right here tomorrow for Wisconsin versus Marquette. A little bit later in the day, Badgers wrap up that series against Michigan State at 6:30. And then at 7 o'clock, puck drops over at 105.5 WIRI, River Kings versus Minnesota Blue Ox. On Sunday at 1:40, Wisconsin women's basketball hosting Rutgers. That's been a great season so far, too, for them.
Good stuff.
Been playing some good basketball all over in Wisconsin here, with whether we're talking both Marquette's teams.
Anything to forget the football season.
right, yeah. it is going to be quite interesting to see where this wraps up for the Big Ten. Last year, we had a really nice season in college basketball. I'm curious to see where this goes now, because you've got some really competitive teams out there. And unlike in football, the SEC dominates so much, and the Big Ten has always been kind of number two. I think it could be the opposite. The basketball that's being played in the Big Ten reminds me so much of Big East basketball when we were kids.
The old school Big East. Oh.
Man, do I miss that season.
They had all the coaches, man. They had all the good coaches.
And with that, certainly did one. We got to say this on Wednesday, but a shout out to Louis Carnesecca.
Yes.
Passing away. That's
one of a kind.
Great week, Seth.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.